Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Poof.
What is Chariots of Fire, right? That's what this is?
Nope. Boof. It's an instrumental from the Teen Wolf soundtrack.
Is that what it is?
Boof.
Sounds like the beginning of every Richard Marx song.
Yeah. Hold on to the nights. Endless summer nights. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. My name is Timothy Mike McKernan. Excited to be the best. Didn't ask for it. Accepting it, though.
Right. It just kind of fell right in your lap, didn't it?
That's right.
Well-deserved.
Thank you, Iggy. Send in the emails for the Hot Shots email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Doug Bryan's paint painted Jameson's nursery. And what'd they do for you, the cat?
They did staining on our front porch and made it look better than new. I'm not kidding you. Like, when we first did it, it was
I feel
nice.
Like Doug thinks you're acting.
Are you telling the truth? Are you straight up, homie?
Look, we have we're blessed enough to have some nice woodwork on the outside. It's craftsman style.
Yep.
And the original stain was fine, but it was not as consistent
not
as we
the
were.
Kind
good
of
enough.
Stain you were
good
looking
enough.
For.
It was good enough.
Right.
But when we had it redone because someone tried to power wash the wood, that stain, not a good idea. We had to have it redone, and he made it look better than new. Honestly, it now looks better than when we first had it done. That's how good this guy is. And it was like really, it was really affordable. And he was there for a few
He's
hours and he was
Doug.
Gone. And we're going to have this guy do the rest of the stuff in our house that needs to be done. Because I've never seen a guy do better.
Brian's Paint.com. You can go on Facebook and check him out. Brian's Paint. Brian's Paint is who we have used as well. He's fully licensed and insured. Plus is earning the Tim McKernan stamp of approval. And I don't just give that to anybody.
Square business.
Brian's Paint, St. Louis's finest custom painting. It's time to talk Bazzuri with TJ Moe.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
It's time for Mizzou Monday, brought to you by Joe Picardi's, former slot receiver and 590's own TJ Moe.
Underneath, TJ Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45.
Made one of the most famous plays in Missouri history.
Left sideline, he's got a seam. TJ Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house.
And now, he's talking all things Tigers.
Missouri, good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh?
Thanks to Joe Picardi's, with locations in Eureka, Webster Groves, Columbia, Benton, and Tapawingo Golf Club. Find out how they can help you with events and catering at joebicardis.com.
You like the sounds at the end? Doug, it was fun. It was in Kentucky. And it was Missouri. Good football teams. Those college teams are really good. Huh? Good morning, TJ.
Morning, fellas. You guys have a very large following in the Gold's Gym on Highway K. I walked around the gym. I'm working out, and I usually step out to come do the interview. And I was stopped four times, and they said, "Hey, aren't you about to be on the radio? Aren't you?" So there you go,
guys. Doug, we're big on Highway K.
That's out in O'Fallon, isn't it? Is that where that is?
That's right.
Bodybuilders and other alpha males tend to gravitate towards
that's right.
That show.
We throw a lot of iron around, so those who do as well.
We're big on Highway K and big on Spady Road. That's right. Where we...
They're getting fitness tips, a lot of these folks.
TJ, where were you this week? Because I felt like I saw you taking pictures of Pepperdine, and I'm thinking, is TJ in L.A. just hanging out, getting ready for a Rammies game or something?
I was not getting ready for a Rammies game. However, I was in L.A. One of my best friends from high school got married. I was in his wedding, so I missed most of the weekend. However, I recorded the Mizzou game, went back and watched that, and I was somewhat impressed by the game, but I missed, I would say, the rest of the – I will spend all of the rest of today catching up on the NFL and college football before my show at 1.
All right. Well, let's focus on the end because that's where
have you ever been to Pepperdine? That place is like – I wouldn't have graduated. It's unbelievable.
Where is it? It's in L.A., right? In Malibu?
Yeah.
It's in Malibu, and it overlooks the ocean, which is freezing all year round, by the way. And I mean, it's over the beach. Just whoever built that had about $10 billion and said, hey, let's build a school. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, maybe we should do a remote.
It's up on a hill there, too, isn't it? You're kind of always walking uphill, it feels like.
Yes, exactly. So you're looking right over the ocean. I mean, you look around, and we were just for fun. I mean, we just opened the Zillow app and said, how much is this house? Oh, $12 million. How much is this house? $8 million. And every house right along the corner there. And Pepperdine has, I mean, it's, you couldn't have a better location. You're right there in Malibu, and I seriously, I wouldn't have graduated.
Yeah, I think a lot of sports talk radio hosts live right there and send their kids.
Well, we have vacation property.
Right, exactly.
We don't want to live there full time, but we get a week off or two. We might go to the beach home.
Right, it's either there or Silver Dollar City, depending on the line at fire and the hole.
I like that, too. I like the ball.
So, TJ, the end of the game, let's play Jamon Moore's thought as he was asked about it following the game with the ball getting knocked out of his hand. You take a listen, if you would, sir.
Did y'all see what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
It's like the ball was knocked out of your hand.
Exactly.
Dude, I mean, I assume a player can't really ask for an explanation. Did you guys get any explanation?
I didn't get any type of explanation. The ref acted like he didn't see it, so I don't got nothing much to say about that, basically.
That's Jamon Moore asked about what took place at the very end of the game, which led to Missouri having one play, and that was that. What were your thoughts when you rewatched the game, or watched it for the first time, I suppose, when you got back from L.A.?
Well, poor Gabby Armin, who just takes the brunt of every question. He's just trying to ask what's going on, and the players are pissed. That happens to him every week. that was not Jamon's fault. The amount of people that I see on Twitter and on Power Mizzou blaming Jamon, what was he supposed to do? He made a catch. He tried to get out of bounds. Didn't work. Then he got up and sprinted over to, because he only plays on the left side of the field. I've said this before. Tim, you and I were talking about this actually at the beginning of the season. When they line up the receivers, you don't switch sides of the field. And the only reason he was on the right side is because he was the outlet drag. He just dragged across the field. There was nobody open. And so he was trying to get to the right sideline, lining up. He ran like 50-something yards to get to the other side of the field. Couldn't quite get out of bounds. And he was sprinting back to his place on the left side. And the guy knocked the ball out of his hands. So he just kept running to get over there. And the referee just walked over. Anybody who's blaming Jamon for that is ridiculous. They don't understand what's happening. He's exactly right. The SEC came out, made a statement, and said, you know, we screwed up. We didn't see it. One, that should have been a delay of game. You can't do that on defense. That should have been a penalty that stopped the clock. They should have had between 13 and 16 seconds instead of 3 seconds left, and would have had probably 2 to 3 shots at the end zone instead of just that one.
Yeah, and even if the officials had acted like the time was of the essence and moved a little bit, they probably could have gone a couple of plays off too. That's aside from the knocking of the ball away, I was shocked to see how they just kind of lollygagged the officials.
Yeah, and I don't know if if I'm putting myself in the place of the officials there, if they actually thought Jamon just threw the ball away, maybe I wouldn't be in any hurry either. I mean, that's not how you're supposed to do it, of course. But when I first saw it, I didn't see the guy. You had to kind of – they switched camera angles at a terrible time. So you really – it was hard to see what was going on until you slowed it down. If the guy just threw it down and threw it away, well, what that tells you is he obviously doesn't care too much. I'll take my time too. Now, that's not the proper way to go about it as an official, obviously, but that's probably what they thought happened.
Do you have any problem at all with the play itself, with time running out and no timeouts left, that you're complete that pass and don't get out of bounds, and they kind of brought some of that on themselves?
Yes. Now, there was nothing wrong with the play call. That was the outlet. The reason you have that is not to complete that pass. It's to throw it at his feet. So what you do is you send three guys deep. You're trying to hit something down the field, not necessarily deep, but you need to get a first down because in college the clock stops on a first down. So you either throw it near the sideline or you throw it past first down marker. You send Jamon across the field like that, not to complete the pass. It's so that if Drew is still in the pocket and it's collapsing before somebody else comes open, you can throw it at his feet and then stop the clock. They should have never completed that pass. But once they did, now you have to scramble. I don't think that was on the fault of Josh Heupel. You actually put that in the playbook for exactly that reason. You're just supposed to throw it at his feet, not his chest.
Yeah, well, this loss may have knocked him right out of the national championship picture, and I'm not too happy about that.
It's not fair.
I guess you have to be impressed with the way Locke threw the ball and the way Emmanuel Hall played, and Johnson and Moore. They all caught gorgeous touchdown passes.
You've got to wonder why Emmanuel Hall wasn't in the starting lineup all year. And at least this is how Gary Pinkel did it, and I think this is how a lot of programs do it. you earn your spot in the spring. And so if you go and you have a really good spring, because that's when you can actually go, like, you're trying to implement the entire playbook in the fall, and you're like, get it in, let's go, let's go, let's go. We got some games to play. In the spring, you take your time. And that's when you're learning fundamentals, and that's when you're trying to master each play. And so you really earn your spots in the spring. I heard all spring that Demetrius Mason was incredible and that he was going to lead the team in receiving and that he was going to have a bigger year than Jamon Moore had last year and such. And then he had a great summer as well, but he had an awful fall. Well, he already earned his spot in the spring and summer. So they left him out there. Emmanuel Hall is faster than Demetrius Mason. He was getting behind guys. He was making bigger plays, and he had a much better fall than he did. That changed some things because he got out there, and once you can get deep on guys, that opens everything up because now you have safeties who are backing up instead of coming up and playing in the run game. And that's why Ish Witter played his best game as a Tiger. And part of that was because they don't have a safety screaming downhill to come stop him at 4 yards. They have a guy backing up because they're afraid Jamon Moore and Emmanuel Hall are going to run by him. So, Doug, you're right. I mean, that there were two throws that when we talked about this last week. There were two throws that Drew Lock threw. The first one was Jamon Moore. Perfect timing into cover two. Set it right in between the corner and the safety and threw it on a rope. That play, along with the throw down the center of the field to Jonathan Johnson, those are NFL throws. Like, those two throws are going to be on his highlights when he gets drafted. And it's not because he's a great quarterback, and it's not because he won any games at Missouri. None of that's going to matter. It's because he can do that, and there are guys in the NFL that can't do that.
Yeah. I know after the game, they were saying, well, there's no such thing as a moral victory. But it kind of was, wasn't it? I mean, just about the time we're ready to not turn on the TV again when they play, at least they made it interesting. At least they showed that they can put some points on the board against an SEC team.
Oh, yeah, I agree. We sit here and we watch the games because we have to, but I didn't enjoy watching the Purdue game. I certainly didn't enjoy watching the Auburn game. When I went back through yesterday, last night, and watched this game, I actually enjoyed watching the game. I already knew what was going to happen and that they weren't going to win, but it was fun to see some execution. You know what I was thinking back to during the game is take a team like Kansas State, who routinely, at least in modern times here, recently in Bill Snyder's second go-round, they have no athletes. That is routinely a team of subpar athletes where they're probably within the Big 12, I don't know, the sixth or seventh, maybe eighth most athletic team, and they're routinely ranked in the top 25. And the reason is not because they have a bunch of good players. It's because they're so disciplined. This Missouri team is not disciplined. We talked about that last week. I think they had 5 offsides on Saturday. They had a personal foul. Now, the game wasn't called well. They had a pass interference call that was stupid, but they had an illegal formation. I mean, all of these things scream undisciplined, and the discipline doesn't come from just the coaching staff. I think this is what people who don't, you know, unless you're actually inside the program, this is you can't see the infrastructure. And Pat Ivey was as responsible for our discipline as Gary Pinkel was, and people don't really understand that. I don't know this new strength coach. And I don't know the support staff and the people that are around, but I know you spend a lot more time with them than you do the actual coaching staff. And Pat Ivey was every bit as responsible for making me a decent player as Gary Pinkel or Andy Hill or any of the coaches that were doing hands-on things, because he got me physically ready, he got me mentally ready. And all we did all winter time, I mean, we spend 6 weeks with them, just them in the winter, and then we don't even see the coaches in the summer. We only see the strength staff. And that is where we learn discipline. And then you can take that onto the field and apply that discipline to your game. And they haven't done that. They look extremely undisciplined. And, again, I don't know what's actually happening inside, but I know Pat Ivey taught that to me, and he's not there anymore.
Bare minimum for me. I'm just looking to be able to watch Missouri and see a couple of good plays. So I'm not buying moral victory. I know Missouri isn't very good. I don't think Kentucky is that great either. But we did see the offense execute, as you pointed out. My question is, can we see more of that going forward so there's at least some big plays that maybe you can watch Missouri football and not feel it's totally, totally worthless?
I hope so. Ken, I think so if you guys go back the last couple of years, Drew Lock is actually really good against cover two, and that's what Kentucky was playing. Cover two, especially if you're not squeezing the safeties, is it allows the slot to go one-on-one with the middle linebacker. That's why you saw that 75-yard touchdown to Jonathan Johnson, because he had a linebacker trailing him. That's your middle linebacker. He has no business covering a slot receiver. And then you have the reason the safeties were widening. You notice that happened at the end of the game. The safeties were widening because they were hitting that hole shot. Well, cover two, just to explain to everybody, is two safeties up top, and then the corners have the short flats underneath. So the corner basically is passing off the receiver to the safety. And then if you do that too early, or if you have a threat underneath and you have to pass them off too early, then if you have a quarterback with a really strong arm, then they can hit that hole. And that's what last year against Georgia, when Mizzou lost by a point, he hit that like four times. I mean, Drew Locke has got the arm to hit that. He actually does really well against cover two. It's the other coverages that he doesn't do very well against. And so when you have that, and people come out, even if I think Kentucky has better athletes than Missouri, but they were playing a defense. Drew Locke, I think, as a whole, is not very good at reading defenses, but he can read cover two, and he has the arm to pick you apart. So I think it is in Mizzou's best interest to hope that everybody's playing cover two against them.
That's TJ Moe every Monday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by Joe Bacardi's. TJ, appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
TJ Moe with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, you want to get your lawn ready, get seeding ready for the off season.
Yeah, I need to do that. My yard's not in great shape.
What's wrong, baby?
We went so long without rain and all that, it was kind of burned and looking bad.
Why don't you water your lawn?
I wish we had a sponsor that could help with some of that.
We actually do.
Have we?
We do.
Who would that be?
It's Metro Lawn and Landscaping. And that's what I did at my home, and I can wholeheartedly recommend them to our audience. 636-936-8243, Metro Lawn Sprinklers and Landscapes, online at metrolawnsprinkler.com. They put in a system, and then they program it, and then it's over. You're never running around with a sprinkler again, and it's awesome. Our lawn, we were rolling around in the back of it. Our lawn plush.
Who was?
Mm-hmm. I just
you
looked
said
up.
We?
Mm-hmm. I just looked up at one of my co-hosts.
Well, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me. I haven't been to the place.
So you know a little bit about Metro.
I know a little bit about lawns.
I know about Pennsylvania, and it's great.
Yeah.
636-936-8243, metrolawnsprinkler.com. It is a world changer. First off, it's not nearly as expensive as I think people may think. And it's not something you really hear advertised all that often.
No,
and so just like, I got to run out there with the sprinkler. Okay, I'll move it over here.
That's
okay, it's been a half hour.
Do.
Yeah.
But
this ends it.
This doesn't work.
This ends it. And the lawn, it's just, it's unbelievable how quickly it takes.
Plush.
The water makes
there's spots on either side of our house. You remember the north side of the house?
Yeah.
The north side is usually where Doug frolics. That's his frolic.
That's where all you get mold.
As bald as the day is long. Not anymore, Jack. South side of the house, bald as the day is long. Not anymore, Jack. 636-936-8243. Metro Lawn Sprinkler. .com. You have a Wi-Fi controller, the Rainbird app. You can do everything from your home and from your phone. It's right there for you. Couldn't have been more smooth as far as the process to get it set up. It's Metro Lawn Sprinklers and Landscapes. 636-936-8243. 636-936-8243 or online at metrosprinkler.com.
My neighbors have got sprinkler systems, and their grass is perfect.
Oh, it's
and
unbelievable.
Mine looks like I live in Phoenix or something. I've got sand lizards running around.
Oh, do you really?
Cactus starting to grow.
That'd be fun.
Yes, I could use that.
The Plowhawk and Iggy take their smoke breaks. Those are brought to you by Salt and Smoke, the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. That's Salt and Smoke, the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, Major Peters. You familiar with Major Peters? Have you had...
I'm almost afraid to ask who that might be.
Major Peters is bigger, bolder, thicker, and performs better than its wussy, watered-down competitors. Oh. That's because it's made from over 90% real tomato juice, not limp, lame vegetable juice. It's made right here in the STL. Award-winning Major Peters holds up better to vodka and ice. Whether you like it original style, hot and spicy, or with a little bit of everything, I allow the works maximize flavor in a major way with Major Peters Bloody Mary Mix. Find it at Deerberg, Schnucks, Shop & Save, Randall's, Friar Tuck, Lucas Liquor, and Total Wine. Major Peters, Bloody Mary Mix, St. Louis, Missouri.
Wasn't that a nice surprise?
Yeah. Boy, it's unfortunate that you immediately assume.
Well, I thought you were kind of shifting off into porn talk or something. If you asked me, if I knew about Major Peters.
Oh, and the updates on the Atlanta Rhodes, Adriana Chechik thing.
About.
Iggy, you got anything on that? I know that's kind of a breaking situation while we're on
there. No, I'm kind of shocked she hasn't gotten back to me.
Oh, this is going to be serious today.
I just asked her if she wanted to come on and talk about her scrap at the awards last night.
What did she say?
No response.
Mm.
Shocked.
She's got back problems, kiddo.
No, she's getting into the Janine Lindemuller camp now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sciatica took its toll on that gal.
Well, Janine's, I think, 48. Lana, I think, is 21. But sciatica can strike anybody, Doug,
it
and
sure
that's,
could.
That's the message of this show. Send your emails in Hot Chats email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Plotboy, did you get my text?
I did. Now, I can't cut it being in here right now, but I can play it raw. I do believe it's her just talking about the Cam Newton situation. Am I correct on that?
Sam Ponder, who hosts to replace Chris Berman at ESPN, she used to be, was it Samantha? She married Christian Ponder.
Right.
Quarterback, Florida State. I don't know where he is now. I think he's still in the league.
He was Vikings. I don't think he's there anymore.
Because they have Keenum and Bradford and Bridgewater is on them. All right. But anyway, either way, she wanted to address the Cam Newton controversy from last week and decided to do so, but she took a different approach. Take a listen to what Sam Ponder had to say yesterday morning on ESPN. I want to get your thoughts.
Go off on Cam today. I mean, I was wondering how could he still be so ignorant, so immature and dismissive. But before I even saw his apology, something hit me. I was going to do the same thing to him that he did to her. Belittle, demean, make him out to be unworthy of his position. And I was being self-righteous and arrogant, pretty quick to point out a sin that I don't struggle with at all. Like millions of women, I love football my entire life. My childhood looked a whole lot like Cheryl's from Remember the Titans. Mm-hmm. I look forward to Powder Puff more than prom. And yes, I actually ran routes for my quarterback brothers in high school. But despite my 13-year career in this game, I'm regularly asked if I actually like football, if my husband got me my job, and why I don't show more skin since that's why I'm here anyway. It's a problem. But you know what's not going to solve that problem? Forced apologies and public shame. Shame alone makes people hide, not change. And what's our goal anyway? The goal isn't to shout people down and make them lose money or even make them shut up. The goal is to open up minds and change hearts. That comes from relationship, exposure over time, and conversation, not reducing human beings to either heroes or villains and holding trials where we are both judge and jury in the Coliseum-like court of social media. So guys, you know that this issue touches sexism. It actually ended up touching racism, and there were a whole lot of different issues in what Cam said this week. But it also brings up the issue of how star players are treated and treat media members. It's kind of a dysfunctional relationship.
That's Sam Ponder yesterday. I loved it. I absolutely
pretty
loved
good.
It.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
I loved it. I loved it. Because that's my issue with it, and one of the reasons why I hesitate to even get in. Now, I know people are talking about it, and I know it, quote, works as far as getting an audience riled up, but that's not the way that I personally, unless I truly feel strongly about it, want to do a show. Because there seems to be, at this point, one of these, at least a week, if not a day. And my analysis on what Cam was doing was he was trying to do his swaggy press conference where he kind of looks down on all the local media, not just the female local media. And as he said yesterday, actually, he was asked about it again after they beat the Lions in Detroit. He said, I learned a lot. I was being sarcastic with a compliment, but I, you know, obviously messed it up. I'm paraphrasing what he said. And then, of course, then you have the social media outrage and then people line up and then try to advance their careers by taking out other people. And what she made reference to, the Coliseum of social media, the public shaming, and then we're the judge and jury as if everybody has clean resumes on these particular topics. And then the writer who he initially went after with, if you want to call it went after, then people go into her Twitter timeline from 5 years ago and she made a joke about how her dad was making racist comments and then she was publicly shamed. So I thought what Sam Ponder said from my standpoint was right on target.
I agree. And it's kind of what I've been saying too for a while is that we don't need to scream down the other person if we disagree with them. It doesn't mean they're not a redeemable human being. You know, you can disagree. Someone else can say something that you might find offensive doesn't mean that they have to delete their very existence. You know, we can get past it. And I agree with her. Discussing some of these issues in a civilized way is the best way to understand them. And if there needs to be some learning done on, you know, on some people's part, discussion's the best way to have that happen.
But you dare not try to crack a joke anymore if you're an athlete, a coach, politician. Well, you forget the sarcasm or funny little tweak of somebody. You dare not do that because someone will always be offended.
And then what happens? And you go after the other person, which, you know, they went after her.
What did you think of what she said, Doug? Did you like it, dislike it, agree?
No, I agreed, but I thought the whole thing was Much Ado About Nothing. I thought it was such nothing. I didn't even see the comment that Cam made. Best I can tell, all he said was, it's funny to hear a girl talk about routes. That was it?
Yeah.
And that's what led to all this.
I had what I thought anyway. I don't know what the opinion of the other person was, and if this person would like to expound on our exchange over the weekend, I would love to hear from her. She emailed me and was wondering where I was coming from on it, because my perspective on it wasn't necessarily, was it sexist or was it not? I find the public and social media in particular, and then also media outlets at large, pouring gasoline on these fires to be the most reprehensible part of the whole thing. But she was coming from a place of being a female sports fan and feeling like it was sexist. And I just feel like we're so, and I don't say we're, like there are places right now, social media certainly being one, but also 24-hour news, so quick to pour gasoline on the fire and create outrage in which people either lose their jobs, in Cam Newton's case, lose sponsorships, and then in Jordan, and I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name, it's like Rodriguez, I could be wrong on that, but the writer for the Charlotte Observer, if I'm not mistaken, how then she was shamed because she had tweeted laughing about her dad making racist jokes 5 years ago as she was driving through some Native American territory or something along those lines. But my whole premise is that to call someone a sexist or to call someone a racist, like if you're going to take that literally, and I personally take it literally, well, that what you're saying is someone treats someone, discriminates against someone based on their race or their gender. So that I just have a really tough time believing that's going on in because of Cam Newton's comments, because of Jordan Rodriguez's tweets. Do I believe that there's racism? Of course. Do I believe that there's sexism? Of course. But to take that and extrapolate that from Cam Newton attempting to make a joke is just, it's just asinine. And then he loses a sponsorship over it because there becomes this outrage machine. And it just nauseates me because I've been the victim of the pitchfork mafia. And so I'm sympathetic to it. Whereas on the other side of things, the person with whom I was exchanging emails has been on the other side of feeling like she was on the receiving end of sexist comments as a sports fan. So these are two things that I can't relate to being a female. Feeling like I'm discriminated as a sports fan or as a sports media member. And on the other hand, this person couldn't relate to what it's like to be on the other end of the Twitter pitchfork mafia. I don't like either one of them. But to call somebody a racist or to call somebody a sexist is really essentially, even if it's not intentional, it can destroy careers. And it becomes a scarlet letter that oftentimes I don't believe is deserved, but is simply a byproduct of the media machine / social media machine and the judge and juries and these people and the comments that they make and trying to remedy the dialogue are often 10 times more vile than the initial comment in itself. F you, you son of a bitch. I can't believe you said this. And I'm like, the self-awareness of what you're chastising what one person said and you say this and like something that's even more
that's
personally,
the age in which we live in. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's.
But it's like so blatantly obvious that that doesn't become part of the conversation. So that's why I appreciate what Sam Ponder did, because she could have gotten up there and everybody pat her on the back. You're a successful sports media member who's now hosting one of the most prominent NFL shows. And she didn't do that. And she, from my standpoint, took the road less traveled, but had a greater impact in doing so, because the rest of it's becoming white noise.
The you know, the folks like Jen Langosh, you know, who does a really, really good job for MLB.com covering the Cardinals. I can't imagine some of the stuff that she might have to put up with, you know, that she doesn't necessarily complain about. This kind of stuff, I could see how it would make someone feel uncomfortable. You're a female just trying to do your job. However, you know, this thing, I don't think it rises to the level of that this person, Cam Newton, needs to be excoriated. And I think it also makes people numb to the when the real infractions come. I mean, the bigger issues, because there's so many times that people play this card or that card as if it's the end of the world. And this, the, whoever said it, they're no longer part of civilization because they said something like that.
You wonder where this is all leading to. If in another 3 or 4 years we're just constantly screaming at each other, is that nobody can ever say anything other than what's right down the milk toast, right down the line. Don't ever say anything slightly colorful or anything. I don't see it getting better now. It just seems to get more exaggerated.
Well, what the issue is, and I say it over and over again, is then people are uncomfortable talking about something for fear of being labeled as a racist or as a sexist, and therefore conversations don't take place. Mm-hmm. And that's what Sam Ponder was saying, although she didn't say it in those words. She might have said it in actually more articulate way. And that, to me, is the core issue, because then that really harnesses any potential for progress if people aren't comfortable having a conversation. Because if you say something that might not necessarily fit what is acceptable, then you're labeled as a racist or a sexist, and you could lose your income. So the juice, therefore, becomes not even close to being worth the squeeze, and you don't have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from on it. Let's see what we got here. Doug, I'll go to the phone lines. This is Danny. Oh. Danny, you're on the appliances, got a phone line.
Hello, Dano.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. Yeah,
I was calling because somebody told me that you guys were talking about the golf ball, which is crazy that people are still talking about it.
Doug, we were talking about Sam Ponder.
No, we weren't talking about this at all. That was like 2 hours ago.
No, Sam Ponder was accused of stealing a golf ball.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know she played. Was that sexist?
I don't know. Was it you that stole the golf ball?
No, it was my ball that got stolen.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Matt, so you're the one who Matt who bowls at Hank's took your golf ball at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us your side of the story.
Okay, so we hit the ball. It was a good drive, whatever. And
humble brag.
Get up there. The ball's gone. Yeah, look for it for 5 minutes. Sure. Can't find it. So there's a big wait. Go up there. And you be quiet, Doug. Don't do what you did.
All right.
We go up there, and I'm not even rummaging through the cart. All you do is you go up and you kind of look. You know, you see the ball.
Hold on real quick. Did you take a penalty stroke, as Iggy says, as the law of the land?
Well, technically, no, but I ended up doubling the hole anyway, so it didn't matter.
All right, technically, no. So that's your answer, no. Okay,
then you
carry
went,
on.
Then you went rooting around the other cart.
Carry on.
Rooting around in a cart is not, I didn't know I needed a search warrant to look in a cart and just, it's not like I touched anything. I see, oh, there's my ball, just grab it.
So he took it right out of his cart, thinking you're the only one who could possibly have a Pro V1 golf ball?
I mean, it had a mark on it. It had a little red mark on it. So, of course, if it has, if there's a Pro V1-1, it has a little red mark on it, and I see the red mark, probably a good chance of mine.
Maybe this fellow marks his golf balls the same way you do.
Maybe.
In which case, you stole his golf ball.
So how did you react? Did you start some sort of altercation?
Oh, no. Well, not really. I just asked him why he took my ball. And, I mean, how am I the bad guy when somebody else stole the other person's ball?
Well, it seems like he admitted that he made a mistake, and to hear his side of it, and again, I'm not on the fan pin, although I do think the fan pin is full of great Americans, but it seems like he admitted the mistake and wanted to move past it, and you might have wanted to scrap a little bit.
I wouldn't say that, but no, I said something on the fan page, and people said I was making a big deal out of it, and the funny thing is, I made one comment, and me and Matt, or whatever his name is, said it's all good. And then my phone is lighting up all night while I'm out with like 60 comments. But people who weren't even there, it's like it's still talking about it. Like,
sometimes with the fan pin, sometimes with the fan pin, small things are made into larger things.
You could say that.
You said you went out. Where'd you go last night exactly?
It wasn't last night. It was Saturday night.
Where'd you go?
What's it called? The Social something at Westport? Pretty cool.
Doug, what is the Social something at Westport? I'm not familiar.
That's
I don't get to Westport as much as
I
I'd like.
It's a big bar at Westport now that's kind of become trendy.
Yeah,
I like that America's Pub.
They got a bunch of like games. They got basketball inside. They got the, what is it, like the pool where you kick the soccer balls.
Doug?
The pool?
It's like cool, but it's like soccer with your feet. Like,
oh, I've not seen
anyone try to steal your ball in that game.
No, I didn't even play that game, actually.
Now we're getting somewhere, Doug. Okay. Where, I don't know.
So are you and Matt who bowls at Hank's cool?
Yeah, did you well, I guess you can go read the other 1,000 comments. That
I'm not doing that. Just give us the short
version. Well, no, me and him both said, I go, it's all good, man, no big deal, and we both said, it's all good. So, but then other people, for, I guess, the rest of their Saturday night, all they did was commented on that.
They don't have anywhere else to go. Most of them can't drive or anything.
Now, Matty Bear says he was in your group, and he says that they didn't give you a free drop, you just took a free drop. Is that accurate?
I was in J-Boy's group, and then I was in the car with J-Boy. Who was the other guy?
Doug, who was the other guy in the group?
I have no clue who the other guy was. You're asking me who the other guy was?
I don't know. I got moved around. I was supposed to play in one group, and PGA Pro Dan told me to play in a different one. So
maybe it was Benny Agbayani. Is that possible?
I don't think there was a Agbayani in our group.
All right.
So was Matty Bear in your group?
I don't believe so, no.
Because he says he was in your group, and nobody told you that you had a free drop, and you just took a free drop.
He's full of it because I asked everybody. I was like, hey, what do you think I should do? And he goes, here, just drop one right there.
But I think he said that the idea was once you drop one that you're taking the penalty stroke.
Well, regardless, I lost a hole. I double bogeyed. But,
yeah, but what was the really intent in the moment?
That's beside the point.
No, I know. And I felt bad, but seriously, if you hit a drive right down the middle, and it should be there.
It ought to be.
What happened to Iggy? Iggy said he hit a good drive, 13, and he took a penalty stroke.
Same thing happened.
And I guess the issue is whether or not you dropped it and then decided to not take the penalty, even though everyone else assumed you would. I think that's really the issue. Doug, does that seem to be the issue?
Rules. Yeah, it's a gentleman's game.
Okay. The guy I was playing, I go, hey, what should I do? He goes, you can just have it. You can drop. Don't take a penalty. He said, don't take a penalty.
The person said, don't take a penalty?
Yes, he said, don't take a penalty.
And who said that? Who said that? This could end it right here, Doug.
Agbayani.
God, I can't remember who I was playing with.
You're playing against him. How do you not know who you're playing against?
I'm bad with names. I can't remember his name.
The story just fell apart.
I think you might have to step down.
I can tell you what he was wearing. Hey. He was in the pictures of you guys at Hot Shots. He had the bat. He was on Team Aaron Reich. He had the backwards hat. And he had the.
That's Matty Bear.
That's Matty Bear.
Yeah. Okay. And he said that he didn't say you have a free drop.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have to step down. I think you're gonna have to step down, sir.
All right. I mean, we can agree. It doesn't matter because he won the hole anyway. So.
Yeah, but we're talking about intent and whether or not there were some. Shenanigans.
I mean, if there was shenanigans, even if I told him, say I got a 6 or a 7, he wouldn't he say, oh, well, you had to take the penalty there, and then we would talk about it then?
Well, that's the fact. That was before you took the 6 or 7. You were, well, you should have been hitting 3 instead of 2. You didn't know you were going to take a 7 there, did you?
Well, I didn't plan on it, no.
Yeah. Okay, well.
All right, you may step down. Thank you.
Now, just for the record, you did post on the fan pin, might have had a better score if Matthew and Alex didn't swipe my ball right in the middle of number 2. Those were your words, sir.
Oof.
Yeah. Because have you ever, you're frustrated. Well, the weather was nasty, and it was frustrating just even being out there. And walk around for 5 minutes on a ball that should be right in the middle, and then I'm just frustrated and just drop one wherever and hit a bad shot. And at that point of the hole, I was just kind of like, this is stupid. Lost my ball. Should be right in the middle.
All right, so let me understand. This guy not only stole your ball, but he ruined your round too.
No,
he ruined your hole, bro.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe he didn't hit the ball just quite as straight as he thought he did.
How does he know where we're going? Thank you.
Well, let me tell you something on 2. There's a lot of times on 2 you think you're in the middle of the fairway. And you're actually left, and there's a lot of range balls over there. And that's why Matt, who bowls at Hank's, is correct. There's a lot of range balls on 2 in the rough. And there's some in the fairway, but that's a lot of rough on the left that if you think you're in the middle of the fairway, a lot of times
I had that happen. Doug, was that on Friday where I thought I had a great drive? Yeah, on Friday, because on Saturday, I think NBC had it. I went right.
NBC wasn't sure.
But Friday, I shipped one. And it wound up being in the left rough. No, you know what? That was Saturday. You're right.
Well, yeah, that was on.
He kicked back right in the middle of the fairway.
World of Sport.
Yeah, well, that was my second shot. Plowhawk got a great bounce off a shrub, and Jennings and I halved it, and we went to number three. I was up one, but you know, like I said, on number four, when we were even, I lost a ball that I thought was in the two fairway. Maybe Matt Who Bowls and Hank stole that one too. I don't know.
Now, do you feel that this gentleman, by calling in, helped his case or hurt it? Because it seemed like he
Doug, what do you think?
Because
I feel like when you call in to the show, you usually get accepted by
yeah,
people.
I just don't think he hit the ball as straight as he thought he did.
The problem with Danny Boy is
range ball.
He's going up against the legend here. Now, regardless of who right and who's wrong, doesn't matter on the fan page. It matters of if you're cool or not. And to me, I know Matt Who Bowls at Hanks, and he has a big following on the fan page. So sadly for Danny, I think Matt is going to win by default.
Can I ask you something? Because I've been to a lot of our station events and met a lot of these folks, and they are honestly great people.
Cool,
great American.
Not the word that comes to mind.
I don't look around and go, boy, look at all the cool.
Well, I don't usually either, but there are a couple that you can pick out of a crowd. Matt Who Bowls at Hanks, obviously, I have a rapport with him. Outside of the Hot Shots event.
Yeah, because Hanks.
Usually you look around the Hot Shots event and your thought is, oh, I'm sorry. I wonder what happened to him.
Now, I I'll admit that I don't know how the whole thing ended up being scored on Saturday. Because I think it turned out that our three-hole matches didn't count and they went to the top seven scores or something. But let's just call this guy Chester, who texted me, hey, didn't the event's outcome come down to stroke play, and if his strokes counted, then PGA Pro's Dan team lost.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
We could have a controversy on actually who won this thing.
Well, the whole thing's been kind of a shishawali tournament.
Good thing that it's meaningless.
I'm with Al. Let's redo
disorganized.
It.
Matt Who Bowls and Hank's texting in. I guess him and Danny are no longer cool. It was right off the rough, you hack. That's from Matt Who Bowls at Hank.
Right, I didn't think it was down
I
the middle.
Yeah, I thought so. That happens on two.
I did not think it was down the middle at all. Just listen to this guy talk. You can tell he can't hit a drive off down the middle of the fairway. You can get a sense.
Plus, his story was kind of changing a little bit on the fly.
Yeah. Guys, can Swope do a soda on this? Thanks. Yes. That's from Stephen Wild.
Do they have any cameras out there? Were we filming anything
of
in two fairway?
Of course not. Of
Swope was out there
not.
With his camera all day.
Why?
Oh, the two Fox. Maurice Drummond was shooting the whole thing.
He wasn't.
I'm waiting for one of these guys to go back to all of Swope's picks and start zooming in on two and find a Pro V1 on the rough.
It's tough on two because of the range.
A lot of range balls out there, yeah.
Doug, really quickly, can I tell the audience about Elysium Restoration and
if
Design?
You, if you would.
I think that's where I'm going to be in my basement today. It's kind of my office, really. But sometimes I'll have Jameson come down there and we'll just kind of talk about what the word is.
Okay.
But Elysium Restoration and Design built the basement and it's incredible. And I can't be more grateful to them for the work that they did. They specialize in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget. From basic remodels to your dream project, plus they do it all while podcasting like the Dickens. See for yourself, erdstl.com, erdstl.com. Elysium Restoration, trust is one of the things they build well. They built my basement like the Dickens. Holy moly cockatoli. Can't recommend them enough. Cannot recommend them. If you're looking to do an addition, if you're looking to finish your basement, kitchen, whatever the case might be, Elysium Restoration and Design. Couldn't be happier that we chose them. ERDSTL.com. Time for the Hot Shots email today. Suspension special at Hot Shots is the price of the email today. Hi, radio show.
Hey.
My name is Nick, and I am 9 years young, huh? My family got a dog this weekend. We named him Doug. Doug knows how to fetch already. He found a Pro V1 golf ball one day. He is smart. My stepdad said Doug is a filthy beggar. He has soft fur. Doug likes to lick my stepdad's face.
No.
He has puppy breath. My stepdad says Doug's tongue tickles his ear. It makes me laugh. I love Doug. Long live Doug, the dachshund. Thanks, Nick the 9-year-old.
How about that? Nick the 9-year-old.
The audience keeps getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to thank Jennings for the wonderful event over the weekend with the Ride Her Cup. While I had a great time on the course, my two favorite things happened after the event was over. Firstly, Aaron Reich and Hall of Famer Dave having a Who's On First conversation about Scott's wrinkled ball sack. I guess the real Scott from the story was at Kirkwood Brewhouse Thursday, and someone told Aaron Reich that's the real Scott's wrinkled ball sack.
Mm-hmm.
The response, he and his wife look a little younger on the fan page. Secondly, I like that someone brought a chick to caddy for him, and Iggy immediately walked over to introduce himself and get a picture. After a cringy smile and Iggy saying, take another, the flash wasn't right a dozen times. I heard the girl in the next tee box slap her boyfriend and say, you brought me out here as bait? Also, I saw yesterday that Iggy took a picture of himself and that attractive stranger and made it his Facebook profile. Yikers. I like that, Doug. Not yikes, but yikers.
Yeah, that's nice.
I guess it's already time to start working on the fertilizer for next year's sunflower crop. If you haven't seen this pic, you can either find friend request him or wait for the episode of the first 48 to come up. It's an eight-parter. Thanks, Matt,
who bowls, and Hanks.
Is that
ball
true,
thief.
Iggy?
No, I didn't go search her out. She used to work at Normandy, and she was actually in our cart in our foursome, so I wasn't searching.
She was
for
playing?
She was caddying for
she
Patrick.
She was caddying?
For Patrick. Well, she
and
sat
you knew her?
And that's...
Yes. She was at our remote when we did our remote before the first... Is the Dotem or Lemmings open?
Doug, do you remember who was at our remote before
no,
the...
No, no, I really
we
don't.
We gave her a donut. We had some donuts, and we gave her a donut.
So you gave her a donut, and now she's your profile pic.
I like the pic, because I had the shark head cover in there, and I just put it up there.
You might step down.
My apologies to Tim for not giving him his present on Friday. But boy, do I have a story, and it's a little naughty. As I started to get out of the car at Kirky Kirky Bee House, my new Hawaiian Tropics spokes girlfriend pinched me on the buttocks and said, where do you think you're going? Within seconds, she had my hands tied to the headrest with her newly discarded brazier. Turns out, what? I think it was supposed to be brazier.
Probably.
It was like Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Dairy Queen.
Yeah,
you
nice cheeseburger there. Pretty good.
Turns out our smoking hot lesbian Uber driver was up for some fun, too. So they both nibbled on my body parts for hours. I was just too physically drained to make it inside after that. Hugs and kisses. Bikini model Brittany? Oh, my God. This keeps happening.
Yeah. It seems totally on the up and up, too. Bikini model Brittany.
Guys, Plops here. World War II. That went on for a long time, and the memories of it are quite painful. The Civil War. Also a horrible time, and it carried on far too long. With confidence, I'll file Biff's phone call from the 7 o'clock hour today into the same category as these events. Just to clarify, the reason he comes on in the first place is he's allegedly this big-time gambler with almost like a Rain Man-like sense. A guy plays big and wins big, right? He flat-out said on the call today that he's up $8,000 on the year. Only this radio show would give 15 minutes in drive time to a gambling specialist who's so good that over the course of 10 months, he's gone up $8,000. On a side note, I'd like to let my 1,096 Twitter followers know that I'm disappointed in them. On Friday, I put out a simple question. What time is everyone going to the Kirkwood Brewhouse today for the happy hour? A fair question, Tim, since you bastards for some reason refuse to accept Hot Shots gift cards as currency. I can't just sit up there all damn day. Well, the post got zero answers and 5 likes. Who in their right mind likes a post from someone asking what time an event takes place and offers no answer? Thanks for ruining my life, people. Hope you had fun at the happy hour without me. Misty Plops, overwhelmed by disappointment. Thoughts and prayers greatly appreciated.
Misty Plops, overwhelmed with disappointment.
Morn. Oh, hey, how are you? Did I overhear you? You say that this restaurant has the best baked chicken west of the Merrimack River? I'll take 2 orders, please, and make sure it comes with a side of that seasonal veg. Oh, you think this chicken is a bit dry? You think this chicken needs to marinate a little bit more? You filthy boy whore.
Well, now, what did that have to do with his meal?
Let's whisk these breasts away to the gender-neutral bathroom where we can marinate the poultry in dehydrated Hoosier urine for up to 6 hours before sprinkling it with the undercarriage shrubs of a bear.
Okay, that's enough!
Think about it, Tunnels 12,000.
Tunnels 12,000 has been suspended. He's been suspended for his language. He's been suspended a period of 2 days.
Doug, look, there's a pic, too.
Name is going into the Hot Shots letter-bound suspension log.
That might be a ladyboy from Thailand, if I'm not missing off on the read there, I think.
I wrote his name down with a pen from Wright Business Products. Thank you, Wright, so he'll brand all of your business equipment.
Hey, guys, this weekend I was on the course, too, and after striping my pitching wedge 220 yards off the tee box, I couldn't find my ball. Turns out the gentleman in front of me had stolen my ball. This is weird because I mark all my balls with a picture of Tim's face on one side, and I write Tim's great on the other side. However, it was just an honest mistake because the other guy marks his balls the exact same way. In fact, everyone in the course marked their balls that way. That comes from Seth.
Seth.
Pretty good.
Seth.
Oh, hey, Doug. Yeah, I'm still awake. Just laying in bed watching Gilmore Girls. Yeah, you can come over. Wait, what? Can you say that again? I can't hear you. Are you holding the buttons on the phone? We're having phone problems. If you want to be bottom for you, just call me on your jitterbug flip phone. I'll just be waiting here, my lace teddy twerking my nipples in the meantime. TTYL, the hipster Tower Grove South.
Sounds more like Harvey Weinstein.
The hipster was up here on Friday night, and he was trying to set up a wedding for Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man. On the patio.
Well, has he even proposed yet? I know he's dated this beard for.
I don't know. It looks like he just emailed in, so it's perfect timing.
All right.
I was pretty downtrodden at the brew house after Larry tried to cuck me for a solid hour whilst he was putting a hurt on that food plate. But as I walked him out to his Uber, my night picked up quite a bit. Lurking in the shadows was a convertible Baron. As I approached, the hottie driver said, "We need to talk. I gotta be honest, after all my emails, I was ready for a good tongue lashing, but not the kind I was about to receive. Let's just put it this way. If chocolate syrup isn't on the Doe's Boys diet..."
Okay. If you can't write it,
"isn't on the Doe Boys diet, he fell off the wagon in a big way. Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man."
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man. With a poor email.
"And finally, Doug, when my daughter starts playing athletics, I oftentimes wonder what type of parent will I be then? Will I be the one that screams at her when she makes a mistake during a secondary school game? Will I be the one that screams and yells at the 15-year-old ref? Will I be that dad that makes the I have to go? Why do people not write right?" I'm just going to read what's said.
If you can't write them, we can't read them.
"Will I be that dad that makes the I have to go to the bathroom excuse in the middle of her match so I can tongue punch her defensive counterpart's dad's prostate?"
No!
So many questions. White collar gangster. He just gave birth. Tim and Tawny just had
congrats
a baby.
Congrats to them.
White collar gangster.
That's what we have.
I wrote shots down two that I thought stood out. Seth and Matt who bowls at Hanks, but I'm going to go with Matt who bowls at Hanks.
I'll go for Seth.
I'll go with Matt who bowls at Hanks. You just shipped the hot shots email of the day. And after a tough weekend in which he was accused of being a thief.
Yeah, but the guy that came on, if that was really him, we don't know. Didn't really defend himself properly. Might not have been him.
It's time for Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank's up next from 10 to noon. And then Martin joins him for an hour from 11 to noon. And then Charlie joins Martin from 12 to 1.
So I got it. Yeah.
How it works. From 1 to 3, you have Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and Eric Messersmith, and John Hadley. And then from 3 to 6, Frank Opinion, who is going to be in studio with us for an hour tomorrow at 8 o'clock. How about that? That's coming up tomorrow here in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. So, time for us to shut it down for the Plowhawk. For Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS.